Welcome to Time After Time,
a non-sponsored, highly judgmental podcast about time travel
and love
and friendship
and the movies that bring them together into our living rooms.
I'm Helena.
And I'm Paige.
And maybe in an alternate timeline, you've already listened to this podcast
and you loved it.
Let's go.
As I'm sure you know from all your years of listening, we sometimes like to begin with a little
song,
a little ditty.
Yes, I've been thinking of some.
Oh, oh, wow.
Okay. We'll let you go first then. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was listening to Blur this morning, so... caves who like girls liking caves liking girls. Oh, it should be a cave you really love.
Right. Wow, that was really good.
Cool.
I love that. That made me think, girls don't like boys, girls like caves and fire.
Deodorant.
And spray deodorant or whatever.
Well, we should probably introduce our guests first and foremost, since our listeners are probably like, what is that beautiful lilting tone in my ears that is not Paige and Helena screaming into their mics?
With us, joining us today, is one of my oldest friends, Morgan, and they are just a cool
102.
A cool person about town. Yes, they're 102 years old. What else is there to say? Multi-talented.
Multi-hyphenate?
Multi-hyphenate. And a huge friend of the pod, I have to say. Yeah. One of our most loyal listeners. So we're very thrilled to have Morgan on the pod today. We should also probably at this, somewhere in here, perhaps at this point, put a big old trigger warning at the top of this one. There's going to be a lot of discussion of sexual assault in this podcast because it happens a lot in this movie. In a way that's meant to be humorous, but is not.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thanks, hello.
Seconded. Because the movie we're doing today is called...
Cave Girl.
All right. Should we just dive into the summary and then we can begin sharing our thoughts and feelings and...
I think we do it.
Before we start and get too far away from the intros, I also just want to say I'm pretty sure I'm the number one time slut. Like your biggest time slut? Anyway, continue. I'm happy to be here.
Would you say you're a slut for time?
Yes. And all things liminal.
Great. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you
and
for
And where do you stand
that.
On time is a circle? Where do you stand on that? Or
a continuum.
A continuum. Where do you stand on
time? Is time a circle or a continuum or both?
Both, baby. I'm in that dialectic. It is it is both and always changing. Yeah.
Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for adding that. All right. We meet our hero, Rex, a klutzy high schooler who appears to be about 37 years old, as he bumbles his way through what we must assume is a regular day of school. Antics include driving his bike into a dumpster, asking a girl out and getting turned down, and accidentally entering the girls' locker room and getting chased out by a horde of topless women with big naturals. Finally, he makes it to science class, where a gang of bullies who look like they're also 35 loosen his desktop and spray adhesive to his chair, causing him to fall and rip his pants wide open in front of the whole class.
Somehow, he recovers from the pants incident and makes it to the after-school field trip in an identical pair of pants. On the bus, the bullies put on Halloween masks and scare him. Finally, they reach their destination, which is an old mine. apparently this is an important educational destination for learning about cavemen or rocks or mining. Who knows? Unclear. Anyway, the bullies predictably pull more mean pranks on Rex and he ends up separated from the group as they enter the mine.
As Rex explores the mine on his own, there is some sort of military exercise happening. We see a helicopter armed with missiles being advised to blow stuff up by some people in a radar van. This will not be revisited or explained. Rex finds a cool-looking crystal in the cave, which glows when he touches it. Then, Either an explosion happens too close to him, or he touches the crystal too much because the camera gets all shaky and he starts screaming, and then he passes out.
When he wakes up, he's in some scrubby wilderness that looks like where he was before, except there is tinkly music playing, so we're supposed to know it's the past, I guess. He gets scared by a bear, finds a fresh cave painting, and then falls asleep. In the morning, he's awoken by a beautiful, scantily clad blonde lady sniffing him. He's surprised, but excited, and does a bunch of rambling, which she cannot understand. In a classic flirtatious move, she steals his actions. Sorry. Just thinking about all the times that we've stolen hats. Okay.
Yes, that's why I wrote that.
In a classic flirtatious move, she steals his extra hat and runs away. He chases her and finally figures out how to communicate enough to learn that her name is Eva, while also groping her boobs. Thrilled with this step forward, he decides to ask if she would like to sit on his face, but that's a little too advanced for Eva's new English skills. They set up camp for the night.
The following day, Eva and Rex encounter some other cave people who don't seem super friendly and are way less hot and clean looking than Eva. They kind of become the rival tribe, but they also become more friendly as time goes by. Basically, the next part of the movie is just a bunch of random antics, while Rex narrates about how things are different 25,000 years in the past. Also, Rex makes many attempts to trick Eva into having sex with him, but always gets foiled by some sort of antic from the other cave people. It's hilarious and not disturbing at all.
Eventually, Rex decides to take Eva for a romantic picnic, and it seems like he might finally get to fuck her semi-consensually, but it rains. They fall asleep, and the next morning, Rex wakes up alone. He sets off looking for Eva, and she also sets off looking for him. There is a long, boring song where they're just kind of wandering around shouting each other's names and being sad. Finally, they find each other, and Eva takes her very modern-looking bikini top off to show him that she is finally ready to pop his cherry. We fade out as all of Rex's dreams come true. I just want to say, I don't know why there's a fade out here. We've seen so many boobs.
There have been a lot of boobs up to this point. More boobs than I ever could have guessed.
So I don't know why we didn't get to watch them have sex, but it's fine.
Also, he doesn't seem to take off any of his clothes.
It's sure.
Over the pants sex. I don't know. Anyway. Meanwhile, the other cave friends have been captured by a rival gang of cannibals. Eva figures this out and tries to warn Rex, but it's too late. They capture Eva and throw Rex in a ditch. There's a whole weird part where Rex watches the hot cannibal queen perform spooky fire-eating rituals very close to Eva's titties, but then Rex saves the day by creating a diversion out of random shit from his backpack and the skulls of the other fallen cavemen. The cannibals then run away and everyone cheers. The cave friends decide once and for all that Rex is their buddy.
The next day, Rex teaches Eva the words, I love you, and it seems like she catches his drift, but who knows, really? Then he spots his glasses, which he lost at the beginning of his journey, and realizes that they must be close to the cave with the crystals. He tells Eva to stay put, and that he's not going to leave her, and then he goes off looking for the cave, immediately leaving her. As he walks across a random, seemingly unremarkable spot, he disappears.
He returns to 1985, where everyone is making their way out of the smoke-filled mine. He tells his classmates about his journey, and they're all like, you're nuts, my guy. Only the old prospector who runs the mine believes him. Rex makes his way back to the mine to discover one of his cave friends emerging from the smoke. Everyone is like, whoa, Rex was telling the truth. Rex says, I gotta go now. Tell my parents I'm all right, and goes back into the mine with the cave friend. The school chaperone is like, oh well, let him go. This kind of thing happens all the time on field trips. Rex returns to the prehistoric era and walks into the sunset, hand in hand with his cave girl. The end.
The end. Did we miss anything, Morgan?
Nah, I think y'all pretty much covered it. Yeah, including all of the things that... Yeah, we already hit a bunch of my notes. Like, what happened to the military thing? What the fuck was the military? Whatever. I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah. You are always allowed to repeat your what the fuck questions.
Yeah, what the fuck, highly encouraged multiple times, especially with this movie.
Yeah. I also thought the fire-eating cannibal was a babe and very impressive as well.
Okay, I tried to figure out...
The most.
In my blast from the past, I tried to figure out who she was, but I didn't know what her character's name was, so the credits themselves didn't help me. And then, like, IMDb, no one from the, except for Daniel Roebuck, who is the star, and Cynthia Thompson. Like, nobody from this movie is, like, even allowed on IMDb. Like, I don't know what's happening. So,
I'm glad we got to make one movie, though. That's my
yeah.
Favorite. Everyone should get to make one movie.
Anyway, this brings us to
Blast from the past.
So here's where I go through a little bit of the history, the context for this movie.
Can't wait to find out the context for this movie.
There's not much. So this movie is a 1985, according to Wikipedia, it is a 1985 sex comedy.
Okay.
So then sex comedy was hyperlinked. So of course I clicked on it to see what is a sex comedy.
That's a great sex question. Comedy.
Sex comedy, or otherwise known as erotic comedy, or more broadly, sexual comedy, is a genre in which comedy is motivated by sexual situations and love affairs. Although, quote-unquote, sex comedy is primarily a description of dramatic forms such as theater and film, literary works such as those of Ovid and Chaucer may be considered sex comedies.
Ovid.
Chaucer, well, you know, Cave Girl.
And Cave Girl, all in the same breath.
They're all in the same breath. Yeah.
I mean, it did go on to talk about how, like, this was a particular big trend in, like, the 1980s. Animal House was also listed as an example.
Yeah, this definitely feels like low-budget Animal House, low-budget Weird Science, all in that same, like, they were trying to capitalize on that particular kind of movie, and this was just like a worse version of all of those.
They were trying to capitalize on like pre-internet guys need to see boobs.
Right. Apparently. I mean, but even like, yeah, even things like Animal House, there are boobs in it, right? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, there are boobs in Animal House.
But there's probably also like a plot.
There's so many boobs in this one.
Yeah, like right off the bat too, and also like in motion. Like, you don't see like boobs like jostling about like while people are fully sprinting very often. But this movie doesn't.
So this brings me to a fact that I have learned. According to a magazine interview with Daniel Roebuck, who I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and I don't really care. He was the star of this movie. He's still a working actor. Anyway, so according to a magazine interview with him, 2 months after the principal shooting had wrapped, Mark Tenser of distributor Crown International Pictures saw a rough cut of the movie and said, "We need more tits in it."
Oh my God.
So they filmed the locker room scene with the nude girls.
Oh, wow. So we were going to get a movie without, I was going to live my whole life never having to see that. And instead I had to see that.
Apparently, Roebuck said the girls they hired were nude models and porn actresses, so they didn't feel anywhere near as, quote-unquote, weird being naked as he felt being around them while they were naked.
Yeah, they all seemed really comfortable.
They did.
Honestly, they were like, woohoo! They took their tops off. It was great.
The naked girls included Michelle Bauer, who was a former penthouse pet in July 1981 and a future scream queen, Jasai, Suzanne Myrisk, Susie Lynch, and Pamela Powers.
Great. That makes sense. We're crediting them.
Yes, I believe their names deserve to be said.
Their names matter.
It also makes sense that one of those actresses would be a splatter star at some point because of just the body genres in general. Like, I kept waiting for this to just turn into a softcore porno, which might have made it better. I don't know. Like, but
consistent at least.
Yeah, the payoff. We would have gotten the full payoff.
If you're going to show us that many boobs, we at least should see one, at least guy butt, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, one thrusting butt. I also would have been fine if it had turned into a splatter movie. I wrote at one point, like, they should just eat him. Just eat him. He's very supple.
Wow. Honestly, if that's how this movie had ended, it would have all been worth it.
That would have been incredible. Such a strong choice.
This is, you'll be shocked to learn, the only film directed and written by its writer and director, David Oliver Pfeil.
I am shocked that this wasn't the result of a long and illustrious career. But like I said, everyone should get to make one movie.
Even if it's this movie?
No, everyone should get to do it one time, just because it's fun and nice.
Even if it's this movie?
No one watches this movie, just us, so it's fine. Okay. I don't think this movie should exist. It should not get distribution. no one should ever watch it. Spoiler alert for our final segment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think everyone should get the experience of making one movie one time.
Fair enough.
You've made so many films, Helena.
I know. I've outlived my, like, I've gone overboard. Once you make more than one, like, you're in
overkill.
You're in overkill territory.
You're saturating the market.
That's why nobody likes film people. Like, you've made too many films. You only get one.
Yeah, like, Steven Spielberg is just, like, out here breaking all the rules.
Yeah.
And that's what they say. They say Steven Spielberg is oversaturating the market.
Yeah, we don't want him.
It's true. We all say that.
He offered to direct the movie I made, and I was like, sir, you already had one. Chill out.
You did Jaws, okay? That was enough.
Oh, yeah, he did Jaws. Weird.
Quit while you're ahead.
And then, yeah, he should have stopped. He should have stopped after Jaws.
Should have stopped.
So, like, right before this started, I sent Helena and Morgan a link to a documentary that I will now discuss.
Please. Because I scrubbed through and it was something.
So in 2013, Daniel Roebuck, again, the star of this film, not the director, the star, wrote and directed a documentary titled Cave Girl, A Second Journey Back in Time, which looks back the filming of the movie with interviews with those who made it. So I hadn't bothered to, like, look this up until, like, 10 minutes before we were recording. And then I was scrubbing through it because I was like, what? This is going to be... Does he think this is a good movie that deserves this? But no, it does seem like it's, like, a mockumentary. I mean, it's a documentary, but it seems like he is making fun of the film. And at some point he pretends it was, like, such a success that it was turned into a musical. And, like, they have fake scenes from the musical, which is pretty funny. Anyway, I think it's probably more worth watching than the actual film.
I think you're probably
right. Because I think he's aware of how bad the film was. What I saw of it seemed funnier than the film, so.
Yeah, it looked like they had a good sense of humor about it and were just reminiscing about a fun summer they had making a movie.
Yeah. I don't know how they dealt with Cynthia Thompson's untimely death, but.
Oh. She died?
Can you tell us about Cynthia Thompson's untimely death, please?
Oh, yeah. She died of cancer at 50. So in, like, 2009, I think. So shortly before this documentary came out.
Damn, dude. Rip to a real one. I was going to say she's the only redeemable thing about this movie because she was a delight to watch, and I really enjoyed her.
She honestly was a delight.
This was her only starring role. So she had, like, little parts in other movies, but this was her only starring role.
Man, maybe she shouldn't have shown her titties. You know? Because then maybe she would have had more starring roles and stuff.
Maybe.
But they were like, we've already seen him. Sorry.
Yeah, we don't want to buy that milk truck.
It does really say something about the sexism in Hollywood that Daniel Roebuck. Fuck.
Did you just pick that name out of nowhere?
It's like, able to have a successful career after this film, and Cynthia Thompson was not.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Because she was really delightful, and he was not very good.
I also, if you're curious, because I was like, is this man 40? Is he a teacher at this school? Confused. He was only 22.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God. I'm actually shocked. I thought he was like 35 for sure.
Yeah. No.
And some of those other high schoolers had to be.
The other high schoolers. The other high schoolers are not famous enough that I was able to find their ages on the internet.
Fair enough.
But he was 22 and Cynthia Thompson was 26. So, you know.
Ooh, we love to see an older woman, even by 26. A little bit.
What about 25,000 years older?
Yeah. Hey. Oh.
On the cutting edge there.
My last fun fact is just someone on IMDb pointed out a factual error. Just one.
Okay.
There were no humans in North America in 25,000 BC.
Oh, actually, okay. I don't know. I didn't do my research well enough because I'm not sure about that exact time. But I did look up because I had that same question. I was like, have we found, like, human remains from that long ago? Did we think there were humans back then? At least, like, prehistoric humans. on North America. And I looked it up, and apparently they only recently figured out that there were humans here way, way earlier than they thought. But I don't know the exact time, because I wasn't thinking about the, like, exact period when I looked it up. I was just like, were there cave people here? Maybe not at that exact time, but recently they...
But, like, how recently? Like, post-1985?
Yeah, like, 2020.
Okay, yeah. Then it's still factual error of this movie. Because
sure, time, okay, that's fair. That's a fair point. The information
available would have been...
That is a fair point. I concede.
But good to know.
Yeah.
Did you find out if any cave people were known to be cannibals?
I did not.
Because that was a question I had.
I did not look that up. Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. We can move on to our first section.
Okay.
Magic.
Science.
Just a dream. I think they're trying to say it's science.
Are they?
We open the movie with voiceovers about the atomic bomb and how fission occurs when something collides into something, causing a chain reaction of destruction, and also Einstein's theory of relativity, which says time can be stopped or even reversed.
Sure, but also crystals.
Yeah, and also government airplanes.
Right. What was your take on this, Morgan?
Well, up until he walks out of the cave at the end and we realize it was science, I was like, oh, this is a great just a dream, because this is the exact kind of like Freudian like dream that this man would have for himself, where he like, it's like his libidinal self is like trying to be like all masculine and like rape this cave girl. But then his like super egoic self is still like striving for science. Then ultimately what he finds is like himself as a subject in this community of cave people. You know?
Mm. Wow.
But it was not that, and he's just a nerd who went back in time. A terrible nerd back in cave time.
Yeah, Morgan, you've so far drafted two better endings to this movie.
Thank you.
That's what, and you know, if anyone's forgot, it's the one where he gets eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he wakes up and it can all be explained with Freudian psychology.
And then, yeah, we cut to him at his therapist's office explaining this.
So horny.
If he had a therapist, mwah.
Yeah, if that was the end, that'd be so tight.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be great if, like, his professor, instead of being like, yes, you can go back into this cave, student who I am legally in charge of, instead he was like, no, I'm going to bring you to a therapist's office.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's revealed that it actually happened, because the cave friend does walk out at the end and say hello.
Okay. Speaking of cave friend, did you guys think that the cave friend and the guy who owned the mine were like a little bit in love? They shared a really intense look.
Yeah. They had a whole look, and he made a gesture at him. He was like, ooh, ooh. I was like, are we meant to know this from earlier in the movie? I don't think we were.
No, I think I think they were having a side movie where they were in love.
Let's see that movie.
You're having a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
I thought perhaps it suggested that the old prospector had gone back to the past.
Oh, 100%. That is what it suggested. Yeah. And it's he did that.
They were in love.
And this guy were in love.
This guy was his cave girl.
Yeah.
If you will.
His cave boy.
Yeah.
I would love to watch that movie. I bet the old prospector was really, really sweet with him. I bet they shared some very beautiful moments.
He was the daddy that cave boy had never known, because of all the like pumas and bears, or I don't know what the fuck, or jaguars. Were there black bears 25 million years ago? Like,
I don't know, probably, but I did not like how he had made friends with the black bear by the end. He was like, you know, this is how it works. You can just make friends just with everyone and every bear. Animal.
Well, if you're Rex, you can.
Yeah.
Because he's just so charming.
Charisma.
Yep.
So what do we think about the army plot line that disappears? what are we meant to get from this?
Is it just like Cold War anxiety, like just hanging out in the background? I don't know. I don't know history.
Or like, maybe. Yeah, something, they wanted a second in the trailer that maybe would attract the army guy to come see it. Yeah.
But how does it relate to the time travel? Do we think that it kicks off the time travel, or is it the crystal?
They like zapped the crystal and then he didn't get back by them zapping the crystal again.
Yeah. He just walked through a random unmarked spot to get back. Did they break the crystal on set? Did they like
they ran
did
out
the
of budget.
Set dresser like take the crystal with them and they were like, oh, I thought we were done shooting the crystal. I took it home and I melted it or something. Like what happened?
A brief aside, the crystal would be the G spot in his Freudian nightmare.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
You touch it, you know what?
If or the clitoris. Yeah.
But if you touch it too much, everything's going to start shaking. Everything's going to go crazy and someone might pass out. I don't know.
Yeah. Wake up in a cave.
I don't know. I feel like this guy doesn't believe that women are actually capable of orgasms.
Oh, no, for sure. He thinks the female orgasm is a myth.
Is a myth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like the first incel, I believe, and he's like, I kept trying to think of a pun that was like Indiana Jones and an incel because of that terrible outfit he's in.
But, yeah, very Indiana Jones core.
Yeah.
Incel, yeah.
It doesn't work.
Incel Deanna Jones, maybe.
There you go. That's the best we could do with it.
Yeah. Okay, if I'm giving it the most generous reading, right? Like, I'm trying to find a way to make it work. The plane, like, hits the wrong spot because something malfunctioned, which shakes the crystal. And by shaking the crystal, now the, like, time portal is activated and just, like, stays activated, right? Like, the crystal's activated okay. it, like and now that. Anyone can sort of walk back and forth if they went into the right spot.
Okay, I like that.
And that maybe, like, it happened, you know, it happened, like, 40 years ago, which is how the prospector did it. And the prospector came back, but, like, something, it shaked it unloose. And then he couldn't get back.
Aww.
And see his cave boy.
Cave boy.
I hope he went now.
I'm sure he did.
I hope after this. Yeah, I'm sure he went.
He's old, you know, he's probably, like, he's aged. He's like, there's nothing left for me here. My dog recently died. I'm gonna go.
I'm just like an MC of this old, just derelict mine. So yeah. What do I have to live for anyway?
The insurance to bring school children here for field trips is really expensive. I'm tired of paying it.
Okay. We're sort of already on as happens.
I think we should do it. What have you done?
We already talked about how everyone in this movie looks like they are nearing retirement.
Yeah, everyone's looking rough in this movie, except for Cindy Ann or Cynthia Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is wearing a lot of makeup for a cave woman.
Interesting. She's the world's first Avon lady, perhaps.
And she has somehow figured out how to make a string bikini.
Yeah. My question is, what is the climate? Because all of the other cave people are wearing like a lot of layers of furs and things and pelts and such.
That's because they have gross bodies that we want to hide.
We better hide those nasty bodies. Couldn't possibly want to see them. And she is wearing a string bikini, which she has somehow fashioned. So is she cold? Are they hot? Who's comfortable? Is anybody comfortable?
Yeah, the whole situation with them and him showing up like the first colonizer ever, like trying to tell them how to like, he's like, first of all, we got to construct a shelter. I'm like, bitch, they have shelters. They know how to use, what is that called? Like a bow?
Tools?
Yeah, they know simple tools. Don't explain their culture to them. You know what I mean?
Respect your elders.
Yeah, respect your elders.
No, she's been doing just fine without him. She's clearly made it on her own. She's not really friends with the other cave people. She's like kind of a tribe of her own.
Totally.
So also, I don't know.
Thought it odd that there were no children in the community.
Great point.
That is a good point.
Well, I was just gonna say, they all seem like they don't fuck very much. Like, she doesn't seem to know that he's trying to fuck her, which I feel like is pretty obvious even if you don't speak English. And like, they're all just like flashing each other, but there's no fucking. And I wonder why.
Okay, but also she does seem to know that he wants to fuck her, because after their weird song where they lose each other, she very assertively takes off her bikini top and is like, I know this is what you want.
It is time for me to remove my bikini top.
Which makes it so much worse the whole time that movie is implying that it's cool that he's just like tricking her into having sex, when she clearly is aware of what her sexual desires and obligations are, you know?
Yeah, no, she's like, the whole time I was just thinking, like, she definitely knows what he's doing and is like, if she wanted to have sex with him, she would have had sex with him before that point. And she clearly did not.
Yeah, and she punches him.
I like that him grabbing her boobs was fine, but then he tries to touch her leg and she punches him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there had been more moments of her punching him when he was trying to creep on her.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, do we think this falls into, like, the terrible category of, like, oh, he finally wore her down type of movies? Or romances, or what?
That's a good question. I didn't put it in that context.
Yeah, I don't think they gave her enough of she wasn't enough of a human, which I could talk about now, or feminism, or in romance. Like, Neanderthals? Not quite humans.
Right.
Like, the way that they are depicted is human, right? Like, the way they are depicted is human. But, like, Neanderthals...
Were not. It's a different species.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and she would not... She would probably not look the way he envisions her.
Yeah, she would not be Aryan. She would not have a perfect perm.
I was obsessed with her curly bangs. The curly bangs.
They were great.
She had a huge perm, big curly bangs. I loved it. That was awesome. That was everything to me.
It meant a lot. It really meant a lot.
Okay, some other questions I had. This teacher is just like watching these kids torture this student and like not doing anything other than being like, don't do that. Like, he would at least, the very least, be like, you can't go on the field trip. But then follow up, this field trip definitely is after school. These bullies would not want to go on an after school field trip. They would only want to go if it meant they could miss school.
Agreed. The bullies do not seem excited about the prospect of learning.
I would like to call a question. Are they bullies if he is like such a fucking little twat that you just want him? I swear, I had an irrational hatred of this man before he even got to school. I was like, I hate this person. I don't know why, but I'm like, I feel like these bullies are just like, they're just putting him in his place. I don't know.
Well, or, you know, what's the chicken and what's the egg? Is he so terrible because he's been bullied his whole life?
I mean, maybe, but at a certain point, you gotta not be terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
My question, kind of relatedly, Morgan, was if you know, not to victim blame, but if you know that you are a person who gets, like, bullied a lot with, like, very elaborate pranks being pulled on you by a group of people, why would you, as that person, go into a porta potty and sit down on a field trip?
Well, he's like, oh, guys, when they blow up the porta potty or whatever while he's in there, which is fucking great. But he's like, this is my last pair of clean underwear. And I was like, oh, he like packs like 10 pairs of underwear because these bullies ruin his underwear all day.
All day.
That was another question I had, though. Is this supposed to be an overnight field trip? Or because not only does he have multiple pairs of clothing with him, he also has shaving cream.
He has everything in that little bag. That little bag, the little bag that he's carrying is just like a regular JanSport that looks like maybe a quarter of the way full. But over the course of his time in the prehistoric era, he pulls out so many things.
Yeah, he pulls out, he has two full tarps. He has like a lot of paracord, like lengths and lengths of it. He's got tape recorder. He's got shaving cream. He had a little bottle of Prosecco. Did you guys catch that?
Yes.
He had a spray.
And two little glasses for the Prosecco.
Honestly, if you're bringing alcohol on a school field trip, the cool kids will hang out with you. Like, that's enough.
For sure.
Yeah.
He should have given it to the cool kids and maybe they wouldn't have bullied him so hard. Or maybe they wouldn't have blown him up in the porta potty. Just saying, don't get in a porta potty. Come on, man. Use your head.
And don't ask out your main bully's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Weird move. Weird move.
Just terrible. But Paige, I feel like you had a question. I feel like we got away from your original question, which was what?
Well, I was saying like the bullies wouldn't want to go on this after school field trip. The teacher should not let them go on the field trip because they are being very mean to this one person who seems to want to learn. Whatever else his faults, he does seem to care about these weird skulls.
Skulls, yeah. I was going to say he's a fucking junior phrenologist, which is also...
Oh, true.
I don't know. He's, yeah, just like a far-right weirdo in the making, if not already.
Reading Skulls magazine on the bus.
Yeah.
Yes. Which honestly sounds metal as hell.
And again, yeah, would bring him closer to the cool kids. But, and then, okay, so wrapping up my questions about the science teacher, we could talk, we all know it's crazy that he was just like, yes, one of my underage students,
one of my charges,
legally responsible for, you may disappear forever on this field trip. No one's going to ask any questions when I get back and say that you went back in time. I will tell your parents you're fine, and they will never ask a follow-up question.
Like, they'll be happy to get rid of him. This fucking...
Honestly, they knew he was going to be a burden. He was going to live in the basement. Like,
yeah, they have to buy him so many pants.
Oh my god. He goes through underwear like crazy, just every day.
And bootcut jeans at a similar rate. So get him out of there.
Speaking of his outfit... he loses his glasses at the beginning of his adventure. Wouldn't that be a problem? I don't know. I don't wear glasses. Paige, you have experience with glasses.
So he also says at the end, I wrote this down, because he says at the end when he finds them, I used to wear these. Is it sort of implying that like only immature virgins need glasses? You find a
once
lady.
Once you fuck, you no longer need glasses.
Yeah, once
it'll
you fuck,
actually cure your astigmatism.
Yeah, which, to be honest, I stopped needing glasses around the same age. Just saying, I've never explored that theory.
Someone should do a study.
I'm now trying to remember, because I just started driving. So it was some, right after I turned 17. Okay. And I didn't have sex till like right before I turned 18. So it was, they cured up. But I had like, done all you, the things leading up
you
to
were
sex
doing hand point. Stuff as
yeah we were doing hand up. Stuff okay. So it was like yeah so is it like enough that you like are starting to get touched down there you don't need glasses or
yeah maybe I mean it depends on how you define sex right that's what it comes back to
yeah I will say like my partner still wears glasses so it's like am I doing something wrong
yes you are
okay.
My partner still wears glasses, too. Wah, wah.
I don't have any answers there, but I think...
Sometimes, maybe it's like a 25% success rate. You fuck, you are all of a sudden 20/20 vision.
Okay, did they fuck?
Yeah.
Ooh. Or did I mean, he it's just a fair like, question.
Did he just, like, rest his girth on her and, like... I don't know. Also, they would not have been fucking in missionary. That was not
like
mean,
she would not have like laid down and been like, let's do missionary.
No, she would have been like, sorry, no one can see what I'm doing, but I'm putting like my booty up. Or I'm presenting.
She would have gone bonobo style.
Yeah.
Or they would have maybe done it standing up because she like knows not to lay down when there's predators afoot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Such a good call.
I did not consider the logistics of this.
Yeah, there's a chance he just, like, dry humped her leg and came, and that was enough for him.
I would also not be surprised if he
ruined Morgan's day.
Oh, gross.
There's a chance that he, like, thought he put it in, but it didn't make it, you know?
Yeah.
That would be kind of his vibe for sure. But I think it is implied that there was sex.
Yes. The movie says, yes, there was sex. But knowing him, you know.
Also, like, he had sex, but, like, did she?
Right.
You know?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I also think... that's so stupid. The blood would attract predators, so she can't break her hymen.
Oh my god!
I don't think she's a virgin. I don't think she's any kind of virgin.
Oh, okay.
She probably broke her hymen like falling on a boulder at like age 4. I mean, there's tons of boulders in that landscape.
So many boulders.
Sure.
Much sharp jumping.
But some people bleed.
That's fair,
every
you're
time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some people.
Some people. We're not saying who.
We'll say 1/3 of every podcast crew. 33 1/3% of every podcast crew.
I'll just take this time to do an unrelated PSA. You can get treatment for this.
As you should, because, like, if, let's say, like, this was a problem for someone, like, I don't know, like, Helena, just for, like,
for example. Yeah.
If you, Helena, like, went back in time, like, if you got sent back in time right now, you could never have sex again because your blood would attract predators.
I don't think it works. I don't think it's quite that serious.
What about menstruation?
Yeah, and what about...
Also, that's why you cast the women out when they menstruate, because they're going to attract the predators.
What about if you, like, hurt, you fall and scrape your hand?
Dead.
Okay, wait, I'm so sorry because this is not good podcast content, but Helena, did you send me that thing that was like a spa treatment where you could have like a peat moss tampon?
No, what is that? No.
All right, someone sent me like a screenshot from like a spa's offerings, and one of the things was like peat moss tampon. Like, you insert this peat moss tampon and you leave it for like 2 hours and you listen to like soothing music and it's supposed to like draw out toxins. Anyway, peat moss is absorbent as hell. Maybe they were doing peat moss in Cave Girl times.
Wow. Are they calling my vagina toxic?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. It's very toxic in there.
They want to cancel your cooter.
I hate that I know that now, and but I do think that that's what Cave Girl was probably doing to make sure the bears didn't come.
Mm.
Right. Have we moved on to feminism?
No, we still have I think we can move on to our next section, which is not feminism.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Does anybody have any more? I think we're good on everything else, yeah?
Yeah, the only other question I have here is why does a voiceover start halfway through the movie?
See, okay, I was going to go back and try to figure out if I was missing it because I was like, did the voiceover just start?
Yes.
And it did.
Yeah.
They retroactively tried to make it seem like he was like recording himself, you know, for science.
An anthropologist.
Right. But then that wasn't the tone of the voiceover the whole time. It was very inconsistent.
Yeah. Which, like, if they had made that the tone and they had like established that as a character trait of his from the beginning, like maybe he could have done a Mean Girls thing where he's like observing the people in 1985 also as if they are.
That could have been interesting, too.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Well, we've improved this movie so many times over.
Did no one punch this fucker up? What the hell?
Yeah, seriously. This is first draft stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
We are going to remake Cave Girl in 2022, and it's going to be a masterpiece.
Truly.
Helena, add it to our list.
Okay. You got it.
Movie ideas.
So many.
And it's going to focus a lot more on the prospector and his cave boy, though.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay. Romance?
Romance. Does their love stand the test of time?
So here's where we talk about the romance aspect of the film. which I guess in the most technical sense, there was a romance here.
He did say, I love you.
Yeah. I have been moved to fucking by smelling someone's freshly applied deodorant. Actually, with my current partner. So, I don't know. I guess Old Spice is a way to fall in love.
That was her first sort of way of making contact with him.
This is like a legitimate question. It's going to sound like a joke. It's not. I'm like actually thinking that this might have happened. Do you think the people who created the like Axe body spray campaign from like when we were in high school where a guy sprays himself with perfume and women run after him, do you think he saw this movie and that was it? He pitched this from watching this movie.
I do not. But I do think that I do think that like armpit sniffing continues to hold cultural significance in our I'm going there, Paige.
Morgan, do you watch The Bachelor?
No. Is there an armpit sniffer on The Bachelor?
Or Bachelorette, well, I should say.
So Bachelorettes. Last week on The Bachelorettes, there's two Bachelorettes right now, of which Paige and I are avid watchers. There was a date where part of the date involved the Bachelorette being forced to sniff all of the contestants' armpits.
That sounds great to me, TBH. But I'm a pit sniffer, so. And like then you know who you're not into, because if their brand is not. If you're not into it, then it's never going to work, you know?
But is it, my question is like, is it the brand of deodorant or is it their specific scent?
Combo, you know? Combo. It's gotta be a combo.
And they have to know they have to have like thought about it. You know what I mean? Like they have to know, they have to be like, this smells good with me. I know that this combo with my particular scent is like.
Yeah. Have you ever like worn a t-shirt like for nighttime and then you like put it away? And then later you, like, go to re-put that t-shirt on, like, for a nighttime. Obviously, you're clean. And you're like, oh, my, like, brand, like, my, like, pheromones. Like, I would date me. This t-shirt smells nice. Do you guys feel me?
Yeah. I have done that.
You have done that? Yay!
I mean, smell.
I also think that there's some other liquids that come out of me that smell nice. So,
like your tears.
Yes, my tears.
Mm-hmm, that's what she was talking about.
I also, there are parts of me that don't smell nice, though, like my belly button. Have you ever stuck your finger into your belly button and then smelled it?
Yeah, sometimes it smells a little weird.
I have a very big belly button that's very shallow, so it's usually quite spick and span because there's just not a lot of spelunking to be done in there. Yep.
Great. So back to this beautiful romance.
So we know that they connect on a pheromonal, or she at least connects to him on a pheromonal level, and that seems to be like, she seems to be quite delighted by him at a lot of points.
She got a cool hat out of it. You know?
She loves the hat. She loves all the stuff that's in his backpack, which, like, who wouldn't?
Yeah, basically, it's just, like, bitches love things, you know? Bitches want stuff.
Women be shopping.
Yeah.
The backpack.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, he clearly does understand consent, because at one point he tells the other cavemen to keep their hands off of him. So I'm like, oh, so you do understand consent. Literally 3 minutes ago, you were just groping her breasts with no warning. So.
Yeah. No, he's bad.
Yeah. He's made even worse by that side character, the like geeky girl in the beginning, who then was also a cave person.
Mm-hmm.
Which at first, okay, first I was
we should talk about her.
I was like, did she also, this might be more feminism, but I'm going to talk about it now. Did she also go back?
Oh, this is a big theory.
When I first watched it, I was like, oh, did she sneak in after him? Because she likes him. And she also went back, but she's just like pretending to be a cave person to flash him.
Fair. Yeah.
I think that could be a theory.
And okay, so this was such a classic though. Okay, so with that girl though, this was such a classic, like, the geeky guy should not be with the geeky girl. The geeky guy should get like the hottest girl in the world. So it's like, there's nothing wrong. This woman is this little geeky girl, whatever. She's perfectly pleasant. She was a little plump, which I think was part of it. But
big pendulous breasts. I was what? Why not her?
Yeah, she was all about showing him her boobs. And he was not interested because they were on a fat person. So no.
A fat brunette.
She was not even fat.
Yeah, but like compared to
a non-rail thin brunette person who is portrayed as not the lead, therefore.
Right. And loose. Because she kept showing them freely.
And loose.
Yeah, if she's showing them freely, then he doesn't want them.
But yeah, so that was my question. I was like, why don't you just like, if you want to have sex so bad, just have sex with that cave woman. Or if you want to date someone so bad in 1985, date that woman instead of the person who like is actively dating the person who's the meanest to you in the world.
Right.
Like, it's such a real beggars can't be choosers situation. And it like made me like him less.
Oh yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Because he was like, someone should see past my also not rail thin geeky exterior, but I should not see past.
I'm not gonna see past anything. I deserve this lady, this hot lady who does not want to have sex with me and has made it very clear.
Yeah, I deserve this hot woman who we can only connect over sex because she does not speak the same language as me, so she won't be a nag. You know?
Yes, yeah, she's like the first ever baby lady. Manic pixie baby lady.
Well, I was gonna mention, like, there were some like very weird age play dynamics happening in the scenes where he was trying to have sex with her as well. He was like treating her like she was like a little like toddler baby, sexy baby that he was like taking care of, and like he was like, oh, you're so cute. And then he would like try to open her legs. It was very disturbing.
It was so hard to watch. I'm so sorry I picked this one, you guys. I swear I'm not being hyperbolic. This is the worst movie I've ever seen, and I watch a lot of movies. Same. And a lot of bad movies.
Same.
We do too. We do too.
Yeah, you watch a lot of bad movies.
We do it almost every week.
I went to a friend's house shortly after watching this yesterday, and I said, I just watched the worst thing I have ever seen. I did need, at one point, because, again, spoiler alert, it's on YouTube. Because it's on YouTube, you can speed it up. And at one point, I did just give up and go, I got a 1.5 times speed this thing.
Well, I was going to mention this at the end, but honestly, the pace of this movie was also so slow and boring. Like, in addition to being, like, wildly offensive and hard to watch because of the sexual politics, it was also, like, often extremely boring.
Yeah. It was so boring. Yeah, Dan was like, is this, like, cave Porky's? And I'm like, I mean, Porky's is terrible, but Porky's had a plot, like, a layered plot. This movie's got nothing. Like, really nothing going for it.
The whole plot was he hopes to have sex with this lady, and then he keeps getting foiled, and that's it.
Yeah, well, and also, like, some like, again, those anthropological voiceover stuff, which maybe could have gone somewhere. Because when they were when he was talking about the hunting stuff, I was like, this is almost comedy. Like,
almost.
We're closer. So.
I love a well-done slapstick, like... A good sight gag, sign me up. Like, I'm not a snob, but they didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Did not... Usually I would like the gags to be funny. And
I would like the gags to
like...
be funny and like surrounded by like maybe a line of dialogue that makes sense.
Yeah, a line of dialogue that doesn't make me want to cut off the penis of the next man I see.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
food.
This was written by one
for
of
food.
Those.
For food.
For food. Yeah, okay, so the last thing that I think needs to be said about the romance thing, since clearly I think they will stay together because now they're pretty much all they've got, but I don't think their love is good. And I don't think Ebo would have talked to him for 1 second if she was in 1985.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But also, I will say, he was very concerned about having a condom and using a condom.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
And I was like, but why?
Oh, for time, right?
Do you think that's what he thought?
I just assumed it's like a, I don't want to like have a child with someone 25 years in my past and then, or maybe not. Maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. But
what do you mean for time?
Because like, what if he goes forward? If he ends up going forward and then he like fathered a child in the past, does it really
like
fuck up everything?
Time machine.
Yeah. Like hot tub time machine.
He didn't seem to care about any effects of him being in the past at all. Besides wanting to wear a condom for some reason.
Yeah. Well, because to me it was just sort of like, do you care about if you get her pregnant?
Well, if he did, it could fuck up like all of evolution.
Well, okay, that's also what Liam said is like, again, Liam also walked in for like 2 minutes, did the thing that they did where they
famously
look at what's happening, ask me too many questions for when I'm trying to watch a film, and then make one comment and walk away.
We should have a segment that's just called Liam's Corner, where you say what it is that Liam said.
Yeah. Liam said, are they going to have sex? Because I think Liam was there for the condom part. And then Liam's like, what if they have sex and it makes the like first modern, what we think of as human. And I was like, ugh, that could happen and it would be bad. But also, that then the movie would sort of have, like, I don't know how they do that without acknowledging that, like, the person he was having sex with was not a modern human.
Yeah. I think those dynamics are way too complicated for why he wanted to use the condom. I think he just, I honestly think maybe he was excited about finally getting to use that condom because it had been in his wallet for a long time.
Which is not the place you're supposed to keep it.
Don't keep them there. Don't do it.
Especially for that long.
Wear it out.
They expire.
Yes. Wow. Really educational hour, this one.
Okay. Now we can do the thing that we want to do.
All right. Ladies. Did we just time travel back to the 1950s?
Here's where we talk about everything in our little intersectional feminism pot that we then stir together and serve you as if it's soup. Anyway.
That was great, Paige. I loved that. Thank you. Morgan did not. They made a face, but.
I liked it. I liked it. I was on the ride.
Great. We obviously have covered a lot of this, so just know that everything we're saying is in addition to all the previous things we've said about how this movie treats its ladies bad.
Yeah.
Morgan?
Wouldn't a society at this time be potentially matriarchal?
Great question.
Probably. Don't know the answer. Maybe.
One would hope so.
The chief is, I think, male identified in this.
Yes.
And yes. Appears to have two wives.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a fun poly way.
Not in a fun way.
At one point, he explicitly says, I made the fire, you make the dinner. Man, woman.
Yeah, that was wild, dude. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, they're just too many moments to count. Like, they're just every single line out of his mouth was just bad for women.
Okay, some of the this is tit related content, which I guess I could have brought up in the consistency thing. Okay, so the scene that we talked about that they had to add, he gets tricked into going to the women's locker room, and then because you know he's a nice guy who would never go in there to spy on naked women on purpose.
Never.
So he hears people coming, he hides, and these women just like walk in and begin immediately disrobing. No bras, No sports bras. They've just been in gym. They've just been running around in gym.
That's how I like to run around. Famously, I like to run without a sports bra and just, and then when I get into the locker room, before I even reach my locker, what I would usually do when I was in high school, I don't know if you remember this, Morgan, but I would usually just, like, as the door was opening, pull my top off.
Of course.
Yeah. So that's okay. So this, they're not acting like you would act in a high school locker room where you, like, you shamefully go into your own little corner and, like, try to get your shirt on without taking your other shirt off first, you know?
Right. As quickly as possible, and definitely don't let anybody else look at me or let me look at anybody else.
They're just, like, strolling about, asking each other for towels and stuff, and then he inexplicably, instead of just keeping on hiding, inexplicably tries to, like, crawl away from them. And then they immediately chase after him, one of them holding a tennis racket, still topless. So it's like, that is, if someone jumped out at you and surprised you in the locker room, you immediately,
while you were topless,
while you scream, you immediately cover your body with your hands. Like, that is the instinct. And then you, like, would just keep screaming, like, get out. Or maybe you would throw your top on and chase him. You would definitely not run after him.
While topless.
Yeah,
I loved that. I thought it was great. It made me imagine a utopia in which a topless woman, a horde of topless women, is actually more powerful than a man wearing all his clothes.
Totally. Yeah, didn't Jameson say that every film contains utopian potential, but its guardrails are what you should pay attention to? And I do think there's a utopia somewhere in the, like, we all love seeing each other's titties, and we're happy in the locker room, and no body shame, and also no closeted homosexuality I need to worry about, because we're all outwardly gay in high school already, and that's where this is heading. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the world that I wish to see, and that's what I took away from this. That's what I thought they were communicating.
Yeah.
And they know gay people exist. They talk about them by making fun of the word homo for a few lines.
Homo erectus, baby.
Yeah. And I think Hank says, the bully says, Rex knows all about homos.
Perfect.
LOL. Yeah, he was just in the locker room with all the homos.
Yeah.
All the topless homos.
The powerful topless homos.
Yeah, I do give this movie maybe some. No, I don't. But there were no F slurs in this movie, which is kind of nice, I guess.
I will say, this is the only line in the movie that I wrote down because I thought it was almost funny. This is the closest I came to laughing this whole movie. Is when they were entering the cave and the teacher says, or someone says, no, you're not far enough in yet. And someone else said, yeah, that's what Brenda tells Hank all the time. That's good. That's a good joke.
That's good.
Yeah.
It'd be better if it was about your mom.
Yes. That's what your mom tells me all the time. No, yeah. Well, no, because then you're still insulting yourself.
That's what your mom tells Hank all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta get his mom and also Hank in the joke.
Yeah.
They really should have sent it to us for a punch-up. I don't know what they were thinking.
Is there anything else specifically we want to say about feminism other than yikes?
I will say it seemed like the only possibly darker-skinned person in the whole movie was the Cannibal Queen, which was not a great look.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie did maybe a little... It, does it count as Orientalism if it's cave times?
I feel like the way that the cave people are portrayed is like as like a takeoff of a particular culture, or it feels like it is, it could be a takeoff of a particular mm-hmm. culture, which the cannibal people, like, they seem to be going for, like, yeah,
savages.
Some kind of what?
Like,
yeah, the, you know, yeah, the sort of like indigenous pastiche that people usually do when they think, like, cannibal savages,
yeah.
Then I think yes.
Yeah, and the fact that that person presented as non-white, if we're going indigenous, yeah, it's all not great. Yes, I did note that, and that was someone who I spent a long time trying to find out who it was to check if they were a person of color, but I did not know her character's name, and there were no pictures of anyone on IMDb.
Which also indicates how that character was treated.
Right. Yes. We talked about this a little bit in The Time Machine.
The one where he goes to the, like, fakey indigenous culture. Yeah.
He goes, like, too far forward. Yes.
That's The Time Machine.
And this is, like, it's, like, a very future, but it's, like, a future that's turned around again into the past. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how, like, technically it's just future people, but they also were sort of portrayed as indigenous. So, yeah, it's still not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as, like, the Avatar series with the blue people, where, you know, yes, they're supposed to be, like, an alien race or whatever, but, like, we can only read it from the vantage point that we have in our culture. So if that's what the images are bringing up for us, then the connection exists.
And someone should have stepped in.
Yes.
Like, if we're seeing it, someone else saw it. You know what I mean? And they were like, no, this reads. Fine. This is good. This is what we want to read.
Yeah. For sure.
Unless they blew their whole budget on bears and fire eating and therefore had no one to monitor the ethics of this thing or do punch-ups.
The bear was right there. The bear was like, give me the script. I got this, guys. This is terrible.
The bear does punch-ups. It's on his resume. Like, I don't know why you're wasting this valuable resource, but...
Well, the bear's first note was, needs more bears. And they did put another bear in a baby bear.
Yeah.
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 Needs more bears.
There were screenings of this movie because someone said it needs more tits. So there were people who saw it.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
Someone, can you, okay, I just want to, now I really want to think about the fact that somebody watched this entire movie, start to finish, and was like, we have a hit on our hands, just needs more tits. My only note.
Yeah, nothing about the terrible pacing or the incoherent plot or the
random voiceover.
The inherent unlikability. I don't know.
Yeah.
The essence of the main character.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay.
Is it the best of times or the worst of times?
Here's where we talk about if you should watch it, in what context. We rate it on our doomsday clock on a scale from noon to midnight. Noon being notoriously gouge your own eyes out, or as I'm going to start referring it to it as the cave girl time. Or and midnight is like, this is the best movie ever, party in your eyeballs. It is the opposite of cave girl. And that's the clock. So who knows where we're going to fall on the clock. That's just what the clock is. Morgan, would you like to begin?
Yes, yeah. Guess first.
Yeah, this is a strong midday for me. This is just the worst thing I've ever seen. But I'm glad I watched it. But no one else should watch it.
No. This is very much a we watched it so you don't have to hero 100%. Situation.
You're welcome.
We're heroes. We've been to war.
First responders.
Helena?
I'm going to give this one a midnight, and not for the reason you think. Midnight because it's so bad, it had to go continue back on the clock all the way to midnight. It's like
a negative midnight.
It's a midnight yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
Or midnight today, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, midnight. Is midnight tomorrow? Is midnight
I
today?
I don't know. It's so hard. Midnight the night before.
I'm going to give it a noon because, like, Rex and this movie are both so unself-aware that, like, they probably hear that they got a midnight and, like, no matter what the context around it was, be like, yay, we did a good movie, and I can't risk that. So I'm going noon.
That makes sense. Sometimes you have to be clear. I understand. Well, we did it.
Do we have any fun time travel questions we want to ask Morgan before they get on out of here?
I have one question for you guys. Would you touch the crystal?
Yes, immediately.
I think like my first response was like, I want to lick it because it looked like a push pop. But like, what if it's, well, I guess if it's radioactive, I'm fucked anyway. So if I'm that close to it, I'm touching it.
Yes, yeah, Helena, would you not touch the crystal?
I would, but I'd be a little afraid of it. I think I would take it a little slower, maybe.
That is how you act around.
That's why you're a good lover.
Glowing crystals. Morgan, is there anything you'd like to add at the end for our listeners?
Oh yeah, like a plug?
No plugs. I absolutely love both of you. Helena, I was telling, I think it's funny that I have a real relationship with her and then also a parasocial one. And now I feel like, Paige, I have both with you too. So thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, we could keep it parasocial.
That's cool, girl. We are a boundary house over here. I will be whatever you want me to be. Wow. For your comfort.
How nice. Because of that, I'm going to move you back to both.
Yeah. Incredible. Making memories, making friends here. All right. Thanks for doing this, Morg. We really, really appreciate it. And with that.
Yes. Thank you very much. And with that.
We'll be back in no time at all.
Morgan, you didn't want to do it?
No, it's not my place.
Okay. Thank you for chewing for us, though. Okay.